soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Greetings from Guardian Mountain. Before we begin, I want to take a second to say thank you to Virginia. Although I do not have the new microphone, the new software is working really well. So thank you, Virginia. Much clearer, much better. Now, for now we see through a glass darkly, but later, face to face. In this statement, we come to see that we are seeing through a glass darkly, but later we will see face to face. And so, what is the glass darkly, and what is it we will see face to face? Well, it seems pretty obvious that we will see God face to face. But we are told that right now we are seeing through a glass darkly. And what is this glass darkly? We look out at the world and we see good people and we see bad people. There's no denying that that's what we see. We see healthy people, we see sick people, young people, old people. We see problems with Mother Nature. We see good weather, we see bad weather. We see damaging winds, uncontrollable forces, earthquakes, tsunamis, and we see clear, beautiful fall days, and we see balmy, gentle trade winds of the tropics, of the islands. One is good weather, one is bad weather. We see diseased trees with a short life. We see healthy, long-living trees. We see babies being born and old people dying. All of this is the glass darkly. And behind this glass darkly is the very face of God, the image and likeness of God. And so, this glass darkly must be dissolved in order that we may see face to face. And this glass darkly is an image of good and bad. Really, it's the belief, any belief, in a selfhood apart from God. It's the belief that there is God and something else, or God and someone else. But we are told that God is one. We are told that God is the only presence, the only life. But looking with our eyes, do we see that one life, that one presence? No, we don't. And hearing with our ears, do we hear that one presence, that one life? Do we hear and do we see face to face? So, the belief in another self is the glass darkly, and the belief in another self operates through the senses. The only thing that the senses, the five human senses, can ever reveal to you is the glass darkly. Or if we turn that around, the glass darkly is the human senses. And so now, we are told that later we shall see face to face. Well, when is this later? And how do we remove that glass darkly? Just how do we see past or through the senses? Because now we've really hit the nail on the head. We've got the hot potato here. The five senses are showing us a glass darkly. Now that's not what's there. That's what they're showing us. And so the five senses, this glass darkly, our five senses are lying to us. There's something else we need to use in order to see face to face. Paul tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. Now that means if you're operating through the five senses, anything that the five senses report is a lie. That means that your friend or your relative that is such a kind person and always does the right thing and is so loving, I'm afraid to tell you that that is a lie. There is no such person. When you look at yourself and you see a person that is maybe not making the grade, maybe not living up to these principles as well as they could, maybe you're not as spiritual as you'd like to be, maybe you still have defects or shortcomings, things that get in the way of your spiritual progress, that's a lie. Anything. I look out my window here, I see the beautiful colors of autumn. There's oranges and yellows and greens and browns and golds. The senses are reporting this to me. The senses are lying. Well, but you're taking away something good. Yes, that is absolutely correct. You can't lose the bad of the glass darkly without losing the good with it. God is eternal. God is immortal. And God is forever unchanging. Now, when I look out here at this picture of nature that is changing, can that be God? No. That, again, is the five senses reporting to me the glass darkly. And so, all that the five senses will ever reveal, whether they are reporting something good, something beautiful, or something bad and something ugly, all they will ever report to me is the glass darkly. I have got to get outside of the five senses. And Paul tells us that the spiritual kingdom, the face of God is seen through spiritual discernment. Now, we know that the five senses report the glass darkly, and this thing called spiritual discernment can see, can behold, can know God face to face. Now we're getting somewhere. Now, what is this spiritual discernment? How do we use that? How do we function through that rather than through our senses? Well, we know that spiritual discernment is not a part of the five senses, so we don't have to look in that direction. And we know that the five senses make up the data that is coming into our minds. And so, spiritual discernment is not the mind. Well, okay, so we can't use the senses, and with the mind we cannot know God. Well, where does that leave us? We must awaken in ourselves that quality called spiritual discernment. Within ourselves there is a something that will take over when we set aside the glass darkly. So, it really is imperative that we find out what spiritual discernment is and begin to use that faculty. Now, most of us know that faculty comes through our practice of meditation. Because when the senses are quieted and the mind is stilled, something else takes over. A spiritual faculty within us takes over. And that faculty is spiritual discernment. And that's the faculty that we must use to begin to see face to face. Now, in our meditations, we enter the silence. And in the silence, there is a quickening, a response. There is a spiritual faculty that reveals itself. We can't use that spiritual faculty, but that spiritual faculty can use us. And so, Christ can reveal Christ. The mind can't do it. The senses can't do it. But Christ within us, God within us, can reveal itself. And this is the faculty that we must rest back in. We must practice resting in this spiritual faculty and allowing it to reveal what we are really seeing. And when we get up from our meditations and we're going about our daily business, this is the time to practice resting in that spiritual discernment. And so now, this really does take practice. I know that in the beginning we sort of accidentally slip into spiritual discernment in our meditations, but we don't seem to be able to carry that with us out into the world. And so we get caught up in focusing on the glass darkly. Now, the glass darkly may be today's political events. They may be the war on the other side of the world. They may be, as we've already said, the weather. Or they could just be our neighbor next door that's irritating us. Or it could be something really that looks really good that we desire or want or crave or are envious of. Either way, it's a glass darkly, whether it is appearing to us as bad or whether it is appearing to us as good. We don't want either one. We want God. And so we must begin to make a practice of carrying the spiritual discernment with us. Or maybe put another way, of allowing it to function in our daily affairs. And that's not so difficult as that seems. By now, we have felt it during our meditations. But when we go to the office or go to our friends or relatives' houses or go to the store and go shopping or drive down the highway, the minute we become aware of something other than God, other than the presence of God, we are seeing through a glass darkly. And right there, at that moment, when we catch ourselves, we need to say something such as, "This that I am seeing is not there. And so, Father, show me what you see. Show me what is really there." And we need to drop that picture that is before us. And it's not necessary to close your eyes and remain still for 30 minutes. We can do this with a simple blink of the eyes. Here is a picture before me. It looks wonderful. Uh-oh, I'm looking at the glass darkly again. There cannot be God and this picture. So, Father, what do you see? Show me what you see. And then I remain still. Now, I can do this while I'm walking. I can do this while... Well, we can do this while we're driving. Look at that guy, cutting everybody off. What's the matter with him? Uh-oh. I'm seeing through a glass darkly. Father, show me what's really here. What do you see? And I'm still as I drive. A little while later, we go into the supermarket, and there's a really nice person. Look at that. They're letting people go in front of them that only have a few items. What a nice person that is. Uh-oh, I'm seeing another presence than God. That's not what's really there. I'm seeing through a glass darkly. Father, show me what you see. And I am still. You see, this must become a working part of our consciousness, and will, if we begin to practice this. This will become so much a part of our consciousness that it will begin working itself it will begin practicing itself. This is in that stillness as we're walking around, as we're driving around. This is that area in consciousness where Christ takes over, where God reveals itself. And this must become a constant state of awareness. I do not mean that we practice it 100% of the time, although that's what we aim for. I mean that it begins to operate itself. And we may find that while sitting in a movie theater or a concert or a play, and someone three seats down is talking loud and disturbing everyone, before we even have a chance for the senses and the sense mind to make its judgment, something takes over. And instead of saying the words, we hear the words. I am the only presence. I am here. And with it, there is release, and the person becomes quiet or leaves. And so you see, we become the living Christ, don't we? Do you see how that works? Christ begins to operate itself. God begins to operate itself and reveal itself through your consciousness, even while you're walking around, talking, and doing other things. And so you become the living Christ. You become the living presence itself. And this is an actual experience that begins to happen. And so this spiritual discernment within you is Christ consciousness. This spiritual discernment within you is God revealing itself. And this is what we become. This is what we rely on. This is what we come to rest in, the spiritual discernment. And we really do begin to see face to face. And it makes us, well, that Christ consciousness, that spiritual discernment, is ordained to heal the sick, to bring harmony where discord appears to be, to bring love where anger appears to be. This consciousness brings God where the world appears to be. For now we see through a glass darkly, but because of this inner spiritual discernment, this Christ consciousness, we see face to face. And so do we see that there really are spiritual principles that we must take with us and practice? And one of the most important is to take spiritual discernment with us throughout our day. And this spiritual discernment, what is it really? Spiritual discernment within you is the comforter. The Master told us that if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. This is the comforter. And the comforter will lead you to an awakening. It is said the comforter will teach you all things. And so you will be taught of the comforter. The spiritual discernment will teach you how to step out of the five physical senses and into an awareness of God face to face. For years we've heard that we have to be Christ, that we must let go of our humanhood, of personal sense, and become that Christ. Or a better way would be to say, become aware of the Christ that we already are. But this is not something that happens to you. This is something that, through spiritual discernment, is revealed. But we must exercise and practice these principles. We must remind ourselves that what we're seeing with the senses is that personal sense, that humanhood, the glass darkly. And we must make it our, well, bend every effort to remember that we're letting spiritual discernment reveal God face to face. And this will make you a fisher of men, because believe me, people will start asking you what it is that you are doing, because they will feel the lack of judgment. When you walk into a room with people in it and you do not have any judgment, but you're carrying the attitude, "Father, reveal what is really here," you will begin to see things that you've never seen before. And they really are wonderful. And people will feel that. They won't know what they're feeling, but they're feeling your spiritual discernment, the Christ within you. And so they will ask you, "What are you doing? Why is it that you don't seem to be upset with all of this going on around you? How come you're not upset like I am? We're both sitting here watching the news. Doesn't that bother you?" And so you will know which ones are asking because they want to find out what you're doing so they can do it too, and you will know which ones really aren't interested. They just notice that you're a little different. But practicing this will make you fishers of men, and you won't even be trying to fish. And so, if your consciousness is revealing God face to face and sees only God, if your consciousness is healing the appearance, melting the appearance, if your consciousness is uplifting others, then what is your consciousness? Well, without the senses, without the sense mind, your consciousness is Christ. And so now, when you look at yourself, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but later face to face." When you look at yourself, do not believe the senses. The five physical senses that report you are so tall and such and so an age and this sex or that sex or this background and environment and conditioning and a good person at this and a bad person at this, those senses are lying. So now we're not going to use the senses anymore to evaluate ourselves or to understand ourselves. We can be done with that. And we're not going to use the mind, which only has the data from the senses. We're going to use spiritual discernment. We're going to allow spiritual discernment, the Christ within us, to reveal itself right here as you. We're going to look with spiritual discernment at ourself and see Christ. And that's what our work is to do. To be the living Christ. And that's what we are when the senses and the sense mind, when personal sense is not operating, then Christ is living its life. We have been told that when the Spirit of God is upon you, then are we the sons of God. And what that means is when you are operating through spiritual discernment, when spiritual discernment is operating through you, then you are the Son of God. You are the offspring of God. You are Christ itself, living, walking, talking, and wherever you go, that is where Christ is. And that Christ, your real identity, when there is no glass darkly, that Christ can do what Christ has always done. And that is why we are told, greater works than these shall ye do. That was not told to the five senses. That was not told to a personal sense of existence. That was not told to the glass darkly. Greater works than these shall ye do was told to you, the Christ. And it really is time for that Christ to begin to operate. But as we said, it is you and I individually that must take this with us. Not only should we experience this in our meditations, but we must become that Christ everywhere. And this we do through spiritual discernment. Yes, and this brings something else out. We are undergoing a transformation, and not only us individually, but the entire consciousness of all living beings. We are undergoing a transformation in consciousness where we cease living from man whose breath is in his nostril. We cease living from the senses and from the mind. And we start living out from Christ consciousness. And this has accelerated. This is a very interesting time that we're living in, because this has been accelerated for all of humanity. We are the pioneers. We are the remnant that are laying aside our mortality, the glass darkly, and putting on our immortality, Christ. We're putting on our Christ self by living this way. And this is going to happen for the entire creation. And there's going to be enough of us doing this that the entire, well, how was it said? We will leaven the lump. There's going to be a transformation in the collective consciousness of mankind, where mankind is set aside and Christ lives itself, in, as, and on earth, so that there is no separation, so that the entire consciousness is a consciousness of oneness with Christ, with God. And there will be enough of us to make this, well, it's the 100th monkey principle. And what that means is there will be enough of us in this inner circle of Christhood that it will change the entire picture of human consciousness. And future generations will be born into this consciousness. Yes, I have confirmation just now. Future generations will be a new humanity, born into this conscious awareness of the living Christ as their experience, as the only presence, as the only life. This is the wonderful day toward which we are walking. And those of us that make this transition consciously right now will continue walking in this conscious awareness. And those that are born in future generations will be born into this consciousness. And so there will be no period where we forget ever again. We will consciously make this transition from man of earth to that one who has their being in Christ. And so should we step off of this experience or out of this experience, or let's put it this way. We will already have made our transition out of the human mind, sense mind, and into our Christ awareness, our Christ consciousness, so that when the time of parting comes and we step out of this visible expression, we will not lose our conscious awareness. We will step into the invisible, consciously aware of who we are. And so death will be eliminated. O death, where is thy sting? You cannot touch Christ consciousness. You see, it's only the human sense of life, the five physical senses, the glass darkly, that can come to an end. Christ consciousness is eternal. And so we must live in this Christ consciousness now and here. And then we will have found our eternal awareness, our eternal consciousness, our eternal identity as Christ. Now we will be able to step into the invisible or out of it at will. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to pick it up again. And so it starts with knowing that we have been seeing through a glass darkly, but now it's time to come into the full awareness of face to face with the living God, with the living Christ, with our living selves, with the living self, our one self. And we're going to do it. There's nothing better to be involved in. We have chosen to do this. We are the pioneers. We have come here to prove this, that I, within, am the living Christ, the Christ of you, the Christ of me, the one Christ, eternal. And so, let us go forward, upward, and onward in realizing that where we may have been seeing through a glass darkly, now we are going to see face to face our new self, the new humanity, the new consciousness called Christ. Blessings to you who go and do likewise.